Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers and sisters only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." If we hear only this portion of Matthew's gospel, we miss who said that part about hating your enemy. If we look at what comes just before this text, we hear Jesus say, "I tell you, unless your righteousness," that is your relationships, "surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." He's talking about the religious leaders of his day who interpret the laws attributed to Moses for the people of faith. Now, surely the Mosaic law never said, "You shall hate your enemies." Did it? Well, I looked. By Mosaic law, an Israelite is not required to love, that is, to maintain any attachment to non-kin. A son of Moses can hate, that is, remain detached or indifferent to anyone who does not belong to his village, family, kin, or tribe. Now, loving or hating is not a psychological matter for a Middle Eastern person in the scripture. It is strictly a behavior. Seeing, noticing someone, and acknowledging their right to attention, or caring, or feeding, or coming to another's aid, watching your neighbor's back, all of this is loving, as opposed to hating, which is not seeing, making invisible, ignoring, not caring, not feeding, not coming to another's aid. Hate. Pretty simple, really. And not so different from our own culture. We just call it indifference or apathy. Jesus named it hate. Earlier today, I was at a diocesan workshop on Pope Benedict's latest encyclical, Caritas Veritate, Love and Truth. It's a social doctrine concerned with social questions applied to the social conditions of our time, here and now, 21st century. The central topic is justice, particularly human development as a work of love. My takeaway from several hours of listening and taking notes is this: learn to love what needs to be reformed. What you find repugnant, distorted, hopeless, what you want to ignore, dismiss, or destroy needs transformation. And for you to be an instrument of transformation, you must love him, her, it. Love what you want to reform. This happens to be the truth about transformational power. And finally, the last point in the takeaway was that truth and love must never, ever be separated. I sat at this conference and thought about this text, about truth and love never being separated, about loving your enemies and praying for them. Well, I remember that last week I learned that Starets Silouan, a 19th century Russian monk, said that he thought love your enemies was the single most important criterion for being a Christian. And if anyone thought they had arrived at Jesus' command to be perfect, as God is perfect, then that person must measure herself by those words. And then, a few days ago, an Episcopal priest friend of mine told me that Bishop Scruton, an Episcopal bishop who held a retreat for bishops and their staff this year, asked his fellow bishops and their staffs How well do you love your enemies, those who frustrate and irritate you, he said, those who cause you pain? Are you praying for your enemies, he asked. And then he added, I think the single most important thing for the pastor of the pastors to do is to pray for your enemies. Then I wondered, what difference would it make in our churches if this Lent our bishops prayed in earnest for their enemies and those perceived as enemies of the church? What difference would it make if our pastors led their congregations in praying for our enemies as a primary practice of the church this Lent? And what difference would it make in our families and in our workplaces this Easter if lay people began as their primary practice this Lent to pray for our enemies? What difference would it make in our world if those who call on the name of Jesus as Lord prayed for their enemies this Lent? Just last week, someone said to me, Barbara, there is no us and them in God. In God, there is only us. If this is true, there is only us in God, then how do we pray for us? Jesus challenges me and you today to love those who do not love us, to pray for them. For whom shall I pray today? Who do I fail to notice? Who do I avoid? From whom do I remain detached? For whom will you pray today? In Christ, there is no us and them, only us. Pray with me that our Father, our Mother, the parent of us all, may make the word that we have heard and shared today our guide to peace. And in place of our egos, give us the humility of God's Son, Jesus. And in place of our wounded pride and our hurt feelings, pray with me that the Lord will give us the mind and heart of God's Son, Jesus. And in place of anything that paralyzes and imprisons us, let us ask God to give us the love of God's Son, Jesus. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, let us ask God to give us Christ, in whom there is no us and them. Let us ask Him to teach us to pray, so that love replaces hate, and God's kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven.